I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 8:03, and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a service on Saturday evening at 6. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Vern and Mona Kaler in memory of their beloved daughter, Connie.
Grace, mercy, and most especially peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel lesson for today is an interesting parable. It's a parable on the one hand that seems kind of clear, but when you get down in the weeds with it, it's a little bit confounding. And it's not just my own ineptitude that prevents me from seeing it clearly. People have been wondering about all sorts of things regarding this parable for, well, as long as we've had the parable, frankly. People way back in ancient times especially asked questions like, what is the oil that these virgins carry, that half of the virgins carry with them? They wondered if it symbolized or represented something that we were to attain. People nowadays focus a little bit more on the attitude, frankly, of the wise virgins. They wonder why they seem to treat the unwise virgins so rudely. Everybody knows from kindergarten, at least my kindergarten, you know, that sharing is caring, so why won't they share with these virgins who just need a light? And I will confess to you right here and right now, I don't intend to answer these questions for you today. By all means, continue to wrestle with this parable. But I would like to draw your attention to the end of today's gospel lesson. Because with these kind of confounding parables, a lot of times, at the very end, Jesus offers us a line or a couple of lines that kind of draw our attention to maybe the most important piece of what he's just said. And he does so in today's gospel lesson right at the end when he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. How's that line sink in with you? How's it feel when you meditate on it? When it rattles around in your head for just a minute? If you're anything like me, it kind of echoes, booming around inside my skull, seemingly. Ominous, daunting. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This phrase creates, I would say, a fair amount of uncertainty. It points us right to the fact that we are not in control, that we don't know what's going to happen or when it is going to happen. That things will come and things will go, and we don't know when or where. And during normal times, on normal weeks, this might be some sort of nice platitude to reflect on. Oh yes, I'm not in control. Right, I need to remember that. But if you've been affected this week in the ways that I have, by the news that seems to come up again and again, this message doesn't come across as some platitude to be filed away in a file cabinet in my brain somewhere. But it hits you right in the pit of your stomach. It tightens your chest. It makes you kind of look over your shoulder everywhere that you go. And it inspires fear. I suspect all of you know what I'm alluding to up here, but just in case you've been sleeping for the entire last week, last week, 1 week from today, though I think it was, they have a very late service, I don't know. In a church down in Texas, a man walked into a Christian congregation, a sister church filled with our brothers and sisters, gathered to celebrate the gifts of grace, mercy, and peace flowing from our Lord. A man walked into their worship service just like this one, in a sanctuary just like this one. And there he unleashed hell on those people. We might expect such things out there. We might expect such things somewhere else. But here we are gathered for peace. And in a week like this one, we learn that it doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter where we turn. The devil is prowling like a roaring and ravening lion, looking whom he will devour. And this week's and weeks like it, we learned that oftentimes his shape takes the form of a man with a gun. And events like the ones of the past week, they bring our focus onto this kind of a situation, that we are not in control. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And in weeks like this one, as I say, that is brought into stark focus. But all of you know, probably better than I do, that it doesn't take big events like this one to shake us awake. It only takes something happening to you. All kinds of events. The roaring lion doesn't have to take the shape of a man with a gun, but the shape of a bus, or a train, or a tornado, or a fire. Cancer, arthritis, dementia. All of these things, especially when they afflict us or those near to us, bring us to our knees with the realization that we know not the day or the hour. And events like all of these, they generally produce one kind of reaction in us. Fear. As I said before, that tightening in our chests, that churning in our stomachs, the standing of the hairs on the backs of our necks, wondering what's coming and when. But brothers and sisters, I would like to bring you back now to our parable. Remembering the words at the end is helpful, but only if we remember them in light of everything that's happening in the story. Because these words that Jesus offers to us to bring clarification to his tale are not, in fact, words that would inspire fear in us. Remember, these virgins, the wise and foolish ones, are gathered and they are waiting for something. They are eagerly anticipating the arrival of the bridegroom. Not because they expect him to show up and do them violence, but because they know when he comes, the celebration will begin. That is what they are waiting for. And that is, in fact, what the wise virgins in our story for today enjoy. A celebration, a wedding feast. They are honored guests of the bridegroom himself. So too are you. By dint of nothing other than your own baptism, just as we saw with Grady this morning. What a great picture for all of us. Because our Lord has called you, because he has gathered you, because he is enlightening and sanctifying you, because he has marked you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, you're welcome at the wedding feast. And that is what we are now waiting for, just as the virgins in the story. Waiting in eager anticipation of the arrival of the bridegroom, of our Lord Jesus himself. So, brothers and sisters, watch, therefore, because we don't know the day or the hour when our Lord will return to put these evils right once and for all. We don't know, I pray it's today, that he returns to let justice and righteousness flow like waters, to unleash his goodness and mercy to a world that needs it so very dearly. So, brothers and sisters, in the light of weeks like this one, in the light of days or hours or weeks that I know many of you suffer and endure, watch. Wait. Hope. Because our Lord is coming. And he will make all things right. Let's hope it's today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.mankato.org. oslcmankato.org.